Welcome to a very, very spooky installment of Not Your Poppy's podcast. I'm your host for the night, Carmen.
Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. About to finish my second drink. And yourself?
Now I feel like we sound like freaking sex operators.
Hey, if you guys like our voice and are willing to pay us to keep on listening to this, go for it. Go for it. We have it set up. You guys can support us.
I'm not going to talk like this for the rest of the night. I can't.
What if we actually had one episode like Valentine's Day where we just talk like phone sex operators all night long?
All night long. Yeah. No, I can't.
So welcome to our special Halloween episode where we prepared some very special, very spooky stories for you guys.
I love Halloween. I've been waiting for this episode for a while because I'm so excited to just feel that vibe, that fall spooky vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so really excited for what you have to talk about today.
Yeah, I mean, it's chilly outside. It's a perfect night to cozy up next to your cell phone, computer, TV, wherever you're listening to us on. Get your drink, grab a blanket, and join us on this very spooky journey, which is our first Halloween special, and hopefully we'll have many more to come.
That's right. That's right. What are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, I am drinking Agavero, el original licor de tequila, with some Capri Sun that I stole from my kids.
How's that?
It is... Well, I'm happy.
You're feeling real good, real, real good.
Yeah.
Bitch, I found the, I sent you a picture earlier, but I found the, I've been looking for this vodka forever, and it's tamarind. It's a spicy tamarind, and I mixed it with Jarritos with a little bit of mineral water. Bitch, this should be bussin'. It is so delicious. It tastes like a paleta. It is so good.
That sounds delicious. That sounds delicious.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, tonight's episode, if you can't tell, we're going to be having fun. We're going to be having fun scaring you guys, because I think that is one thing me and Carmen live for, is to scare people.
100%. Either
scare you away or scare you enough that you want to come back for more. One of the other.
100%. 100%. And one of my favorite things, when I used to work in person before the pandemic, was to tell everybody that my fun fact about me was knowing about a lot of serial killers. People would just look at me like, what? And then people would be like, oh, Carmen would be the most likely to kill somebody. I'm like, that's not true, bro. You, if you know about it, you won't go kill somebody. Yeah. You just, you know.
You know, you're so well educated on serial killers that
it's
you can
disgusting.
Spot one out in a crowd. You'd be like, that kid, that freaking kindergartner is going to grow up to be a serial killer. I know it.
With that spooky segment.
Fernando, cue spooky music here now. Insert.
Right here, Fernando. Right here. I definitely want us to get started with our first story. Mm. And... I am super excited to hear yours. So,
okay. All right. So, brace yourselves for today's story. I had originally thought about preparing a different story that was more historical, and more like factual, but then I heard on TikTok, my new source, about this particular legend / maybe true story, and I was like, this is perfect. Okay. All right, so for today's story, let me introduce you. It is said that in 18th century Nueva España in Guanajuato, in the Callejón de la Cabeza, near the cemetery Santa Paula, lived a breathtakingly beautiful woman named Carmen.
What? Carmen, Carmen, Aya, Aya. All right, Carmen.
It is said that her beauty was bewitching, and even she couldn't help but stare at herself in mirrors in adoration of her face and beautiful features. She would use this beauty to her advantage, as many men would come to court her, and some of those men included the richest and most influential men in society. This allowed her to have certain luxuries and privileges, and it led to her being quite vain and egocentric. She enjoyed her beauty and these luxuries, but time was her enemy. As the years and eventually the decades went by, she started to age, and slowly her beauty faded. She stopped being courted by men, and slowly the town started to forget what she once looked like. This drove her mad. She started looking for ways to retrack time and regain her beauty. She was dead set to become the once beautiful woman again. The tale tells us one night, neighbors heard screams and mad laughter coming from her home. It is said the next morning, when she went out into town, the neighbors stopped and stared in disbelief. The old woman was now once again the young, beautiful Carmen of decades prior. Chisme ran wild around town and eventually made its way to the church, whom, upon hearing the news, made up their mind that this could be one thing and one thing only.
Brujería.
Yes.
She's a witch.
Indeed, the church and the townspeople were convinced that the only way Carmen could have regained her youth and beauty was by making a pact with El Diablo himself. The chisme grew to be unbearable, and Carmen locked herself in her house, only coming out when necessary. One night, the church, along with the townspeople, came together and lit torches and carried crosses and rosaries and went to Carmen's house. They broke down her door and forced her outside. Then they dragged her to the cemetery where she walked by almost every day of her life and buried her alive.
Oh my God. That is not the story we deserve. No, Carmen deserves to live that life. Pobrecita.
It is said that when you visit her mummified body in Guanajuato, you can feel someone near you. Guides warn you not to look into her eyes, as visitors in the past have complained about feeling like someone is touching them, and some have even walked away with scratches after they have looked into her eyes. Others do say that the legend of Carmen has been twisted throughout history and that she was in fact a curandera. And when the church started to feel threatened by her, they convinced the townspeople that she worked with the devil. And that's how they convinced the townspeople to help them bury her alive. Now, when you look at the mummy, they used to actually keep the mummy in a cage with like metal bars around and chained up. And they used to hold like crosses and rosaries on the top, because it is said that sometimes when they would come back to the museum prior to locking her up in the cage and chaining her down, that sometimes the employees would come back the next morning and her mummy would be in a completely different
place. Position. Yes. Mm-hmm. So to follow up on the TikTok, I saw something, I don't know if it's the same creator, but Fernanda Cortez X.
Yes. I think that is her.
I love her, dude. I love her content. I love her shit. She like posts some amazing stuff. And I had seen that story a couple of days ago. So we definitely want to give out a shout out to her on TikTok. She brings up like also like really cool, badass. If you guys can hear, that's my cat. Latina stories. But I did hear that one, but I didn't know the legend behind it.
Yeah. So I, you know, she was kind of talking about she was talking specifically about the mummified body that they have of Carmen in the museum. So, you know, I went digging because I love the dead. That is like, they're my favorite. Dead people are my favorite.
They don't talk. I love them so much.
Exactly. They don't talk. They don't bug you. Once in a while, they move around, but it's no big deal. It's better than, you know, dealing with someone alive. But her legend was so interesting, right? It's about this beautiful woman who enchanted the man about town. And obviously, it could only lead to her one day becoming a witch, a bruja, because that's the only thing you could be in back in 18th century Nueva España if you were beautiful and single throughout your life. What else would you be?
But also, bitch, let's be real. Like, if you were old and then you come back to life being young, I'm also going to say, pinche diablo came through, right? Like, hook me up with him. What kind of Botox are you getting? Then I want some of that too. So
today, I mean, nowadays, it's called plastic surgery. And if you find yourself a damn good surgeon, you too can be like Carmen.
I really like that. I really like that, right? We can all get Botox. And I just also love, like, it alludes to the Medusa, right? Like, if you look at her in the eyes, you know, you'll die and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you guys ever visit Guanajuato and you're ever interested in taking a picture with Carmen, just make sure you ask for permission prior to taking the picture and never look into her eyes.
Or you might just die. So let me tell you about a story. You know how we talk about this podcast and how it's a platform for women unknown? Let me tell you, this bitch is known.
Every once in a while will come a woman who actually broke the glass ceiling and people are able to remember her name. Or are they?
So the first time I heard about this story, I was about 4 or 5 years old, and my dad was talking to my mom, and I was supposed to be asleep because I'm a shitty kid. I came back and like was listening into their conversations or whatever the fuck, because kids. And I remember my dad going to my mom and saying, do you remember that one time when we lived in that little casita in Mexico where we heard that one thing? And my mom says, yes, I remember vividly. I was 8 months pregnant. I went to the restroom, and as I was on the rest, I was on the toilet sitting down. I hear from far away a very, and in my bones, I knew what that was. So my dad says, what was that? And she says, you know who that was. My dad's like, a bruja? No, you know who that was. You know how it started. After I woke you up, we heard it again. And she comes closer and closer, and you can hear that cry going, ah.
Why are you stupid? I'm going to have to like wake my kids up to sleep with me tonight.
Cuddle with you tonight.
Yeah, thanks.
And they look at each other and they were like, yes, I know it was La Llorona. So La Llorona is a story. It's a very popular Mexican story, Latin American story. I feel like everybody has a version of their own La Llorona. And it's so popular, it's cross borders. You hear about it. Well, how has it crossed borders if this was once Mexico, right? So you hear about it in California, Southwest, everywhere. So the story of La Llorona goes, it goes many ways, actually, right? There's no, I tried to find, I was really invested in the story because I was like, what is a story? I've heard everything. I've heard from Maria to Marina to everything. And I'm like, I need to know her story. But not one source told me the story. But the one that's very popular that we all know today is a story of a woman who was very in love with her husband. They were both very in love. Met at a dance, very handsome man. She was a very, very beautiful woman. And they had 3 beautiful children. As men are, trash. Men are trash.
Always.
Always. He starts coming home late. And sometimes coming home late meant coming in home smelling like liquor. And sometimes it even meant him not coming back home. Mm-hmm. So right after the third baby, she starts asking him, what's going on? And he says, and he looks at her, have you not seen yourself? Do you not see the way that you look? You don't even do your hair. You don't even get ready for me. You barely do anything. Look at you. She says, well, I'm home taking care of the babies. I'm home washing and cleaning and everything. No. So one night she goes out and she goes and spies on him. Girl, never spy on your man. I'm telling you right now, don't get into his text messages. Because if you're going to look, you're going to find. And if you're ready to... busca, encuentra. And if you're ready for that conversation, you might be ready to break up with him, right? Because after that, there's no excuses. But el que busca, encuentra. Sobreviso no hay engaño. As she does, she goes and spies on him. And sure enough, he is with a beautiful young woman. And Maria is not who she was once, right? And who she once was. Oops. Guys, I can't speak English. If I can't say shit, it's because English is not my first language, okay? Anyway, she goes and looks for him. And yeah, sure enough, he's with another woman. And he comes back home eventually. And she says, you need to stop your shit. You need to stop your fuckery. And you need to be a good husband. He says, no. What do you expect from me? I'm a man with needs. I'm a man with pleasures. And you cannot give me that. She says, if you go out tonight, you're never, never going to see your children again or me. He says, what the fuck are you going to do? You're going to fucking leave me? Where the fuck are you going to? You don't have shit. I am the fucking provider. So he leaves. He doesn't expect my dad to do anything. And so what does she do on a rainy night? She grabs her three children. The first one. And the little one, because he's easy. Grabs him and goes next to the river. And as the storm is coming down, she grabs the baby and she throws him to the river. That was easy. So she goes to the room. She grabs the next one. The middle one. He says, Mommy, where are we going? She says, we're going for a walk. Okay. They go for a walk. Mommy, what are you doing? It'll be really fast and easy. Just trust. Grabs him and throws him to the river. She sees him goodbye. So she grabs the other one. She knows that the other one's going to give him a little bit of problem. She grabs the oldest. Mommy, where are we going? We're going for a walk. Mommy, it's cold. Mommy, it's raining. As a fucking old kid does. They don't just fucking do shit easy. They fucking go hard. She grabs the old one. But oh, mommy, it's so cold. But oh, mommy, it's raining. I don't want to go. You have to. No, pero sí. Drags the child outside. You can see the marks outside of the house. The drags of the child and trying to hold themselves. Mommy, it's too cold. Mommy, where's daddy? Daddy is going to come soon. Mommy, I want to be with daddy. Stop it. You're not going to see your daddy. You won't see your daddy. Pero mommy, pero nada. Pero nada. It'll be fast and easy. She grabs her and she's a little heavy. The storm is coming down. The river is going hard. She grabs her and she puts up a fight and throws the child to the river. As the child is streaming down, she screams, mommy, 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 mommy. And she looks and she has this realization, what did I just do? What am I doing right now? And it hits her. I just threw my children to the river. And she runs and tries to save that last one. And she runs and, mommy, 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 mija, I'm coming for you. And the child is just drowning and drowning and drowning. But oh, mija, I'm going. Hold yourself to something. Mommy, I can't. Mija. And the child just drags and drags and drags. And as Maria runs and runs and runs to try to catch up to her child, she hits a rock, hits her head, and dies. Now, Maria goes up to heaven. She's ready and she goes up to heaven and St. Peter's waiting for her up there. Looks up her name and says, Maria. See, Maria, is it you? Yes. Where are my children? Your children are here. But you know what? I can't find them. Actually, they're not here. So are they there or are they not? No. I don't have a list of your children. You threw your children. You killed your children. And she says, so what now? What do I do? He says, well, now you go back to Earth and you go find your children. And go bring me your children, because if you don't, you are not allowed to come up to heaven. So she's left between the nothing and the something, and she's in Earth trying to find her children. And she cries every night, yearning and crying, and ay mis hijos, she goes all night. So she'll look for children, especially the children that have no moms, or the children that don't listen to her mom or dad, that when they have a curfew to come back at 7 or 8 and they're still not showing up, she'll snatch them. She'll take them to St. Peter, and St. Peter will say, those aren't your kids, Maria, you know better than that, those are not your children. And she'll go back, throw them in the river, and go find for some new kids until she finds her 3 little kids. And that, my story, that is my story of the legend of La Llorona. So take care of your children, because if not, she might come and snatch them right off of you. And kids, listen to your mom and dad, porque si no, se los lleva La Llorona.
Mm-hmm. I remember always being told as a kid, sundown, you come into the house, and you'd never go to the river by yourself, ever.
Yeah. Never, ever.
But what I find so beautiful about La Llorona's story is it talks about a housewife who dedicated her life to her home, the love of her life, and her children, and how this backfired on her because, unfortunately, she fell in love with a piece of shit man. And depression is a real fucking thing. And postpartum depression is literally the hardest thing women can go through. And it just shows how, you know, men, if a woman has given her body, her time, her beauty to carry your child, to raise your child, to keep you a home, be fucking grateful. Be grateful. Love that woman. She does so much for you. She sacrifices so much for you. And La Llorona is such a scary story. It talks about a woman who's so heartbroken, so mad at how the world turned on her, that she lost her fucking mind and killed her children.
And cries for her children still, right? Because she has that moment of realization. I think that's why she goes up to St. Peter. Mm-hmm. She thinks she's going to heaven because she tried to save her child. And he's like, no, bitch, go back. Go bring me your children.
Mm-hmm.
While damn knowing that she will not be able to bring him her 3 kids back. And so she's just lost in this loop of never-ending angst because she'll never find them. Ever, ever, ever.
She made her own hell. That is literally what you talk about, spending your eternity in hell.
There's a woman that, like, in I think in the 90s, late 90s, she also drowned her 5 kids. Am I loud?
Hmm.
No.
No, you're fine. I'm sorry. I have a lot of hair and the headphones.
Mm. There was a woman in the 90s, in the late 90s, who drowned her children. And sometimes I wonder about her. I'm like, was she La Llorona too? Right? It was the Yates. Her last name was Yates. I can't remember her first name. And I empathize with her because, you know, you mentioned postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of that is real, right? Like, no way, don't edit that out, Fernando. Don't say if it's real, because it isn't. It's a very real thing. But postpartum depression, and how we, a society, we want to believe that it's, you should be grateful for having your kids, period. There's no reason for you to be depressed. There's no reason for you to be, you know, regardless of the man, you still have your kids. You have to live for your kids. But
yeah,
you know, it's complicated. It's more complicated than
our and kids. We're not going to, don't take this as we are protecting or supporting any baby murderers or child murderers. At the end of the day, if someone has murdered a child, whether they be your children or someone else's, you're a murderer point blank. You made a horrible choice. It affected a lot of people and it stole someone's very life from them.
Oh yeah. Don't think this is about Casey Anthony, no, right? Murdering her fucking.
No. This is more to bring awareness, A, on the fact that you should never be by the fucking river alone, especially at night.
B, you should listen to your parents if mm-hmm. you have a curfew.
C, if you suspect your man is cheating on you, leave him. He's a piece of trash. He doesn't deserve you. You're better than that.
Absolutely.
And it goes back to depression is a very real thing. It affects a lot of women. Postpartum depression is something horrible to go through. And if you know a woman that is suffering from depression, whether she talks about it openly or anyone, not just a woman, but even men, right? Because also depression can hits all genders regardless. Mm-hmm. Don't be one of those people that says, oh, but you should be so happy. You have a great job. You have a beautiful house. Look at your children. Like, look at everything you should be happy for. We're not saying we're not fucking grateful and we're not like, we are very grateful for the things we have. We're very aware of it. That doesn't fucking take away from the fact that there's something in our fucking mind that doesn't stop talking mad shit to us about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you're fighting your own demons day in and day out. And your story is going to give me nightmares because I remember hearing that story as a child. So it's kind of a similar story in the sense that back in Rubio, where my family's from in Mexico, my grandma's house sat right on the corner, right? And Rubio is a very small town, but there's like a big river that flows through it. And every night my grandma would tell us, don't go to the living room, no se vayan a la sala. And we'd be like, why? Like, what's wrong with us going to the living room? Now, mind you, to go to the bathroom or to go to the kitchen to get a glass of water, you have to get either close to the living room or past the living room. Now, the story says that this girl was on her way to get married. And unfortunately, she didn't make it. She got struck by a truck or a car, something. Somehow she died on her way to get married. Because mind you, like kind of going through my grandma's house is on the way to the church. And they say that at night, by my grandma's window, you could see a woman in white pass by. And she passes, and she passes, and she passes.
Anyway.
Yes. And so I told you, I never experienced La Llorona, but I did fucking experience one time. It was very late at night. My grandma was at like a late night mass. I was at home with all my cousins, right? Porque every time we went to Mexico, it was like a bunch of us. And I remember one night having to go to the bathroom with my cousin. So my cousin was in the bathroom. I was waiting outside in the living room and I'm waiting there. And I'm like 7, 8 or something around like 7, 8, 9. And I remember feeling cold, like really cold all of a sudden. And I look to the window. I don't know why the fuck I decided to look to the window, but I saw a shadow walk and I froze. Bitch, I froze. And then I saw it walk back.
Shit.
And at this point, I'm about to pee my goddamn pants. Like, mind you, I was waiting to use the bathroom.
Yeah, right.
And then when my cousin walks out, I tell her, I'm like, hey. And then at that point, two like drunk men, because also by my grandma's house was a fucking bar.
Perfect.
Mexico. At the time we go, like, so we like slowly creep up to the door, and as we're like looking in the door, two drunk guys pass right by. I kid you not, we almost, I mean, I had to run into the bathroom and use it that very, very moment.
Oh my goodness. You know, my grandma's house in Mexico, at one time when I was, and it's always on your way to the bathroom. I don't know why. Mexican bathrooms are just so creepy. And like, if you know, you know, you know what I mean? And like, same thing. I was walking to the bathroom and I hear a baby cry, like a newborn baby. I'm like 8 or 9 or whatever. It's like, eh, whatever. So I go back and I go to sleep. La chingada. The next day I wake up and I asked my grandma, I was like, grandma. She's like, yeah. I was like, do the neighbors have babies? And she says, why? And I was like, because last time I went to the bathroom and I heard a baby cry. And she says, no babies here. You probably were dreaming. I was like, are you sure? Because I heard a baby. No babies here. Like, shut me down completely. I was like, okay, bye. I was like, whatever. Went and go do my thing. So, and that was around Christmas time. Like, the following year or whatever, it was, you know, when, like, the old Mexican families are, like, drinking and it's, like, 5 a.m. and you wake up to go to the restroom because what else are you going to do? You, like, can hear them again talking in the background, all pedos and shit. And then one of my uncles brought up, like, the whole, hey, have you heard anything about the baby yet, like, lately? My grandma's just like, oh, my God. She's like, I haven't recently, but this girl heard, she told me the other night that she went to the bathroom maybe like a year ago, and she says that she had heard a baby, and I had told her that nothing was going on, right? And she's like, Mom, like, we need to tell the kids because they're going to hear her, they're going to hear the baby, and like, we need to tell the kids. And then my grandma's like, but they're so little, they shouldn't know this story. And the uncles and the aunts were like, you traumatized us when we were kids. Like, why wouldn't we tell them? And then one of the wives of my uncles was like, well, what's the story? What are you guys talking about? So my grandma goes into the story. So her comadre, is there a word for comadre in English? I don't think so.
If you guys know, let us know.
If you know, let us know. So comadre is, so you have a godchild, right? So it's the relationship between you and that, the parent of the godchild.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandma's renting out the house next door, and they were very poor, very poor. I mean, the floor was dirt. The house was adobe, like very, very poor, but they lived there. And it was a family that had just had a baby. The baby was born, was a stillborn baby, but I guess not stillborn because when it came out of the womb, it cried and then it died within a little bit.
Yeah.
My understanding is like a stillborn was born dead, right? Right.
Correct.
So this baby was actually born and it died not far long from its birth. And the baby just cried and cried and cried right before it died. But they were so poor that they go up to my grandma and they say, hey, you know, with a broken heart, our baby died. My grandma's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, they did the whole thing, right? The whole, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. We don't have money. And my grandma owned property, so they had the assumption that my grandma had money. My grandma's like, I mean, we really don't have money. And he says, no, but we just want to give our baby a proper burial. She says, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I literally just have a shoebox. That'll do. And my grandma says, a shoebox will do? Yeah, that'll do. And my grandma's like, okay. And then, do you mind if we bury, we can't even like pay to have her buried at a cemetery. Do you mind if we just bury her little body just in your backyard? My grandma's like, okay. I mean, yeah, you can go all the way to the fucking backyard, like not like backyard. My grandma's like, okay. The lady's like, okay. So the baby doesn't fit. The baby's too big for the shoebox. So they ended up having to break her little bones. Make sure that the baby fit in, and she still didn't fit. So they had to break her little head.
Just oh my make God. Sure. Why
the baby would fit? They were poor.
Oh my God!
They were poor. This was around Christmas time, and they buried the baby in the back of my grandma's backyard, which was just like dirt, and there was nothing, right? Nothing. And then within a couple, so they buried. They did a little prayer or whatever, and then within the next few days, they found that one of the cats had dug out the body, and had ate the baby. And from that day on, you can hear that baby crying. Just crying like that newborn cry. Every time during Christmas. You can hear for days. But nobody goes in. Nobody tells you, like, they always do that to you. Like, oh, no, it's nothing. but you can hear a newborn baby crying. And it's happened from, I mean, my grandma must have been in her 20s when that happened. So in like the 1950s, and generation to generation, we have all heard that baby crying at night. The baby that never had that proper burial. The baby that never had any recognition. She didn't even have a name. She was ate by a cat. Well, probably just dismantled a little bit. Pero sí. So, spooky, spooky stuff.
These are the stories I live for, because I can't sleep at night after hearing them. And everyone, or at least the majority of us, have some story from Mexico. Mexico, as beautiful and as an enchanting as it is
haunted as fuck.
Yes. So if you are not from Mexico, I would suggest sticking to the touristy areas. But those of you that are from Mexico, and if you feel comfortable, send us your stories.
Send us your stories.
Yes, we want to hear all about them. We want to share them.
No, but not even Mexico. I feel like there's tons of haunted places everywhere. So just tell us your favorite haunted story. Like, we want to hear.
But it has to be your story. It has to be something you have experienced that is related to you, your family, you know? And obviously, yes, it could be from anywhere in the world, not just exclusively Mexico. Don't forget, if you ever want us to talk about a woman throughout history, share your spooky stories, send us an email to notyourboppiespodcast@gmail.com.
Please do. We would love to tell your stories. And the spookier, the better. Shit, I don't even care. Tell me about a legend, a weird legend in your family. Like, I've never seen a ghost. I've heard a baby, but that was it. That's the closest I've come from, like, a ghost.
I've seen my fair share, and I've heard. And, I mean, your son had an experience at my home in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Tell us if you like this special spooky Halloween episode we brought for you guys. If you would like more, we enjoy it. Like, I freaking loved listening to your stories. You're like the best storyteller
for spooky shit. Of course, that's where I highlighted. But yeah, send us your spooky stories to notyourpoppiespodcast@gmail.com. Again, you guys, my name is Vin Carbon. Thank you for listening.
Yes, and I'm your host, Laura. And don't forget, we are now available on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcast. And don't forget to follow our Instagram page at Not Your Poppies Podcast. Thank you. And don't forget, well-behaved women
rarely make history.